The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today we will discuss the Gospel from Matthew and talk about another parable which continues our conversation about the Kingdom of God. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi wants you to know that they are still open. Yes, their building at 615 Oliver Court is temporarily closed, but they are still alive and well and helping families on a limited basis and by appointment only. They're offering help through their Emergency Aid Food Pantry, Emergency Aid Financial Assistance, and other services. But you must call ahead and you must make an appointment. Their number is 361-884-0651, catholiccharitiescc.org. The Catholic Charities Flower Bluff Food Pantry is closed till further notice, but the main facility is open for business. But again, you must call ahead, Monday through Thursday. Again, their number, 884-0651, Catholic Charities. Helping where it's needed.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Once again, Barbara, I'm fine, and I hope you are too, and
doing
living
well.
Out this summer well.
Doing just fine.
I hope everyone out there is getting a little bit of time off, whether staying at home or traveling.
It's time to just kind of sit back and refresh their brains and reflect, which
right.
is what we're doing this morning.
Exactly.
Well, our gospel today is from Matthew, so let's prepare ourselves to hear his word.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it to shore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household, who brings from his storeroom both the old and the new." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, for the past 3 Sundays, including this one, we've had our gospel passage has come from parables. You know, it's all of Matthew's chapter 13. So this is
right.
the last one, and in it we have 5 distinct sections.
Yes. You know, I in looking at these and kind of analyzing them a bit, or, you know, putting them in context, because so often we hear one thing and we forget about what we heard last Sunday, or we don't consider it in as a continuing flow of teaching, which the gospel is that. I mean, it's food for our life. It's
right.
how we can live. But I thought it was interesting. Last week we began with the good seed and the weed, the wheat and the taurus, the bad wheat growing together, and we end this one after each of these little sections with the evil and the good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's just reality that we need to look at. But I thought it might be good just for a moment to look at what is this evil that we're talking about. And obviously, Jesus does speak about, the devil but
fiery furnaces.
The fiery furnaces and all these things. But what are these evils? Mm-hmm. And I think it would be good for us, before we get into these other parables today, to really look at what are these capital sins? I mean, I think those are the things we learn about, we hear about, we forget. But how mm-hmm. operative they are at times in our life. And again, as I said last week, we need to name the evil. We need to name the sin, or we will never get rid of it.
So that we can be aware of it.
Exactly. And just quickly, just so that we can set up the context for today's lesson, their pride, and I would say to all of us, there's temptations, if not the reality of pride in all of our life mm-hmm. on some level. There's greed. At times we want what we want, and we want it now, and we begin to hoard things. We stack up riches and all these kinds of things, and we know there's a parable about that.
That's right.
Putting them all in our barns, and then everything collapses, and we don't have them anymore. So this kind of avarice, they call it, this greed that is sometimes present in our life. The next is envy. Being envious of what other people have, who other people are, what their accomplishments are and not mine. Comparing myself, we waste a lot of time with that. I mean, we are that unique creature of God, born for His to do His will. Another is wrath or anger, and that's not getting angry at the car that cuts in front of me. That's not that kind of angry, but a seething anger against someone because of something they said, because of something they did, and we hold on to it. That's the kind of anger that eats up a person. That, again, is the bad seed, the weed that is present in our life.
It's behind the smile sometimes.
Yeah, so these are just things that are the evils that creep into our life that Satan does plant and mm-hmm. uses for every opportunity to plant something. There's also the sin of lust. And, of course, in every age it expresses itself so differently. I think now just to point out one is the pornography and the internet and all these things that create and hit this part of our human nature, which is created for the good, and yet evil, when lust is put into our life, it hits that part that's meant for good, which is meant for relationship, mm-hmm. and turns it into something that is evil. The sin of gluttony, mm-hmm. We all need to be nourished. Again, another good thing. But we, because of whatever a propensity for overeating or advertising that just entices us and we get pulled away. And then finally, the sin of sloth, laziness, which is giving in to ourself and not being proactive in doing what God wants us to do and doing what our state in life requires. A family person, a husband or a wife who neglects each other or neglects the children, gives in to this selfishness, which is part of sloth or laziness. So all of these sins, I think we just need to be aware of them again, pride and greed and envy and anger, lust, gluttony, and laziness. All of these kind of create that environment around us that we have to live through this mm-hmm. as Christian people who are called to live the Word. And so then when we see what the battlefield, you might say, is like, then we can look at these parables again and say, wow, that we're really called to tighten our belt and live well. So, for example, today we're looking at the treasure that is hidden in a field. The interesting thing here is here's a person who was at work. Right. We always think, well, mm-hmm. we can only find God in church, on Sunday for 1 hour. Well, wrong. Mm-hmm. This guy was at work. Mm-hmm. And he found a treasure.
Right.
And that's something that we have to be, again, aware of. It's not like we live 6.5 days a week apart from the call to live our Christian life in union with Christ and in union with one another. But even at work is to not only witness, but also to look around. And you may find a treasure. Again, I use the example sometimes of something a little child would say. It may just awaken in us something that is very beautiful. And so there's treasures everywhere. Look for the treasures. They're out mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. You'll see goodness in so many areas. People doing things for one another. As you use that term, the random acts of kindness, not only in us, but look around you and see the beauty. And so he found the treasure in daily work. And it was worth a sacrifice to perhaps call the worker who left everything and to buy the field, meant he was ready now to do the will of God. And so once we began to notice the beauty around us, the treasures around us, we see that as we pray the Our Father, not my, or our, as in on earth as it is in heaven, your will be done. That's our call.
On earth to do it.
Sure. And it's calling us to a higher value of life, to really see that we're created for the good. We're created to live a gospel life, which is the call to good, not the call to follow our passions, all the evils that are around us. So I think that's the first lesson for today's gospel in the treasure. It was found in a common circumstance. Mm-hmm. We live our Christian life everywhere, no matter where we are, and we see it. The goodness of God around us, and that we're willing then to put ourselves on the line to do God's will and to participate in that.
Mm-hmm. My father used to say sometimes when things would happen that were just totally unexpected, you're going about your normal time, that it was serendipity.
Yeah, right.
You know, the grace of God can be serendipitous.
I like to say we need to allow ourselves to be surprised by God. Just be surprised.
Yeah.
But if our heads are down, we're not looking, or everything's wrong, and the world's going overboard, and we're not going to see it. We can never be surprised by God. So we need to anticipate and to expect the beautiful treasures that are there.
Well, then the second one was about the pearl.
Right. Again, another very common image. Of course, pearls were very, very rare. And when one was found, it was great. But when a fine pearl was there, it was not just the value. And I think this is something, again, that we overlook in life. It's not just the value of the pearl, but it was its beauty.
Right.
I don't think we spend enough time in life looking for beauty. Our world certainly doesn't present beauty to us. We even, in terms of relating to God, we relate to God as the omnipotent one, you know, the all-powerful. We relate to God as the omniscient, the all-knowing God, all-compassionate God. What if we looked at God as all-beautiful, you know, and just to really recapture the meaning of beauty? I think in our worlds of art in the past, beauty was something that was really sought and looked for. And I think it was Hans Urs von Balthasar, one of the great Swiss theologians of about 50 years ago, spoke a lot about God who is beautiful, to have an appreciation for beauty. And I don't know if I want to comment too much on that as far as what we see in our world today, but there's a lot of areas and things that are not beautiful.
They're not, but I see beauty in nature.
Exactly.
For instance, we're so blessed to live in this city, you know, the city of Corpus Christi, and sometimes just seeing a dolphin rise up in the bay, as the sun's coming up, is beautiful.
And that takes time. You know, to be able to sit there and
not just happen to see it.
Not to give in to sloth and laziness,
right.
But to take that time to appreciate.
While we're exercising.
Exactly. I was actually, this morning, I was sitting in my sitting room, and I have a view of the bay, and just watched the sun. It was just creeping up, and then pop, there it is.
Yes.
To appreciate that, or I've oftentimes doing confirmations. I've spoken about looking at the stars of the heaven and just appreciating that God created this. This is beauty.
And you have to just take the time to see it.
Exactly.
All right, we are going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
The term shalom is usually translated as peace. Often, however, when concepts are moved from one language to another, something is lost in the translation. Shalom encompasses much more than the absence of external conflict or internal turmoil. Shalom is the state of condition of experiencing what is needed to live a fully human life, one that is not wanting in any of those elements we consider essential to complete the development of one's personal potential and therefore the richness of community life. For the Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament, these essentials include a rich and invigorating relationship with the source of all that is good, the source of all life. With the opening of Shalom Place, the Spirit Center now offers two significant settings for encounters with this God who is love. The Spirit Center is available to groups of all faith traditions. For more information, visit BlunserSpiritCenter.org. To book your next retreat, call 361-888-7537. Till then, Shalom.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, we were talking about the second section of this parable and about the pearl, and you were talking about finding the beauty in God. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing to think about.
Yeah. You know, thinking of the spiritual life, the Christian life, the gospel life that we're called to, we're also told to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow. And we really need to have a balanced life when we think of these things. Yes, we are to deny ourselves. We're to live in an ascetical life. We're to pick up our cross every day. And believe me, they're there every day. We can't reject them. But we also have to, according to this gospel, we also look for the fine pearls. You know, mm-hmm. It's not just about carrying the cross. It's not just about self-denial. It's also about finding God in the beauty of life, the beauty of a newborn child. And so we need to really balance our life with the beauty of God's creation, the beauty of God's love for us, and to find that. And I think, really, it's not an either or, it's an and both, because right. I really believe the more that we do deny ourselves, mm-hmm. again, denial is denying these capital sins that we talked about earlier, putting those in check, taking up the present moment, the crosses that are there. That is all preparation then to know God's love, to see the beauty of God that is in God, to see the beauty of forgiveness. But when we don't live a balanced life, when it's only looking for the resurrection, we might say, or the beauty, then we're not prepared because we don't accept the cross.
Right.
But if we only live such a rigorous and rigid life of the other, we miss that's preparation. Mm-hmm. That's the death part of Christianity. But where's the resurrection? You know, where's the beauty of the resurrection, the beauty of, for example, the disciples on the road to Emmaus who recognized Jesus? It's because they had experienced the cross that they were able to recognize him. And so we have to have both. And I think that's just one point before we move on to the next that I wanted to bring back to our attention.
Yeah.
So,
a lot to think about.
Yeah, then the final one is the net. I think this almost kind of goes back to the weeds, you know, let them grow
right.
together. And so even the fish that are hauled in the shore are hauled in together. They're separated later. There's something I think here that is the idea of discrimination. And it's part of human nature. It's part of our fallen nature that we do have preferences. We discriminate. This person doesn't act the way I would want them to act. Certainly wouldn't be in my household that. And we find in the gospel, too, of Jesus calling the poor and the weary up to the front pew, not the back pew. So,
right.
But that's hard for us at times. But to not discriminate against other peoples, but to work with everyone. I think Catholic Charities, of course, we have such a strong and beautiful expression of Catholic Charities here in the diocese. I'm so proud of them. But the times when I go to Mother Teresa's shelter or to some other events, everybody's there. And, you know, if you discriminated, we'd all be there by ourselves.
That's right.
No, everybody. And that brings us to a word that we hear so much about tolerance, to be able to tolerate the other. Now, we have to be careful because it doesn't mean that we lose our values. It doesn't mean that we lose. This is our value, that God is the God of love, which means embraces all. And if Mary is mother of Jesus and mother of all of us, she's embracing all. For the purpose of bringing them to good.
Mm-hmm.
We can't lose sight of the goal. We can't just say, you know, I discriminate you against you or I tolerate you because I just accept the way you are. Yes, I accept you. It doesn't mean that I lose who I am, but it's an embracing of them for the good. Where do we find that? You know, we hear that Jesus, while we were still sinners, God has sent his son. not when we were all perfect, but while we were sinners, he sent his son. So we never lose the core of who we are as disciples of Christ, as is called to be good Catholic Christians. However, that very essence of who we are, the value of that is that we open our arms to all. As St. Paul said, I become all things to all people in order to win them to Christ. And so that's our MO, that's our modus operandi. So these parables of the weeds growing with the wheat, the fish being hauled in together, it's all to bring them to the truth of God's love in Christ. At the end, again, as we talked about last week, that they're, by their fruits you will know them, and that's God's work, the work of final judgment, to separate the good from the evil. That's not ours. Ours is to have a passion that all be one, that all come together and find the truth of who they are.
Well, and I'm listening to you, and we're talking about tolerance and different people, and then we were talking about the different evils. And we may know some people that are doing things in their lives that we don't appreciate, but yet I guess it's our role not to be discriminatory, but maybe hopefully our lives will shine a beacon toward them,
right,
and they might change a little bit.
Exactly.
I mean, and it's a balance.
Oh, sure. And I know I've mentioned this before, but I love St. Monica. She prayed for Augustine, who was anything but a good person, you might say, in his younger years. Did she tolerate him? Absolutely, because she loved him as a mother. Mm-hmm. Did she tolerate his sins? Absolutely not.
Right.
Did she discriminate against him? No. Did she discriminate about where he went? Yes. Mm-hmm. So, again, not losing herself, but she prayed for him 33 years. I mean, there mm-hmm. again, the patience, the leaven
of
prayer,
love.
Unconditional love, and all of that. So our saints, when we're trying to understand these things, we need to see witnesses of them, the values that are here, the gospel values. They're lived out in our saints, and that's why we can never neglect the saints, not as but there are a host of witnesses whose lives shine the gospel to us, who explain, in many ways, explain the mm-hmm. gospel to us. And so we refer back to them, not as we don't worship them, as some people
right.
accuse us of doing, absolutely not, but they're our best friends. And if you want to know what we're talking about here, look at the lives of the saints. And knowing them is coming to know what Christ is calling us to in this day and age.
Well, and just a little side note about the saints, because you've talked about the saints before. You know, every day there's a Saint Day, and on the U.S. Council of Catholic Bishops website, you can go to that and find the Saint Day
right.
and read about it.
And get
or have it sent to your own mm-hmm. email account.
Your iPhone. No,
yeah,
so, yeah.
And
get
just
a
read about
biography
it.
About them.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and some may pertain and some may not.
Sure,
but, you know,
sure.
That goes
yeah.
with daily reading.
Some are interesting and some are not
right.
so interesting. Or,
yeah.
You know, a businessman, yeah. a banker, or something may not always be interested in St. Angela Merici or, you know, someone mm-hmm. like that. But mm-hmm. There's one, as you said, that's very nicely said, there's one for everybody.
Right.
And
right.
To see those examples of really, really some heroic virtues.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking on the Vatican website the other day, since you brought it up. There's, of course, they have to look at the cause of saints, and they accept certain signs, miracles for mm-hmm. them, but they list them. There were martyrs, there were heroic virtues, and then there was the ones that had miracles. So as the church goes through this process, it's not a snap decision,
right.
but it's looking for heroic virtues. It's looking for, certainly martyrdom is to give one's life and blood physically for Christ. But there's also then that, you know, we need miracles on. And
mm-hmm.
so all that being said, it's just these are living people who were living in mm-hmm. Now and now living again in heaven, but they're examples to us of how to live this life that we've talked about the last 2 weeks with these parables of the kingdom of heaven.
So we can get our daily Saints Day and read about them, and they can help us in our lives.
Yes. Yes.
So going back with this, you know, we have the fourth section, Jesus explains to the disciples what's going to happen on the end of time. You know, the wicked are going to be separated from the righteous, and that mm-hmm. goes to show everything is at the end of time. You know, there's always time to change.
Yeah.
You know, and judgment will be at the end of time.
Sure. And I think it also, you know, tells us that everything serves I like that expression. Everything has a purpose. Mm-hmm. Again, some of the great saints would say that, you know, that every event, every headache, getting caught in a traffic jam. And I know it sounds absurd, but and I have to deal with it myself. I'm sure you do, and everyone out there does. And you get to that point and say, how can this be God's will for me right now? I'm late for a meeting or something, you know, something happens. Maybe it's that leaven to teach us to patience, or to maybe root out a certain wrath and anger in us. Mm-hmm. Once that anger is kind of made aware, when we become aware of it in our own life, we need to take measures to root it out. So when we're talking about the end of time and judgment and being vigilant to that, we need to look around us today, mm-hmm. on this Sunday, but also tomorrow, Monday, and never, ever overlook an event that's going on in your own life. Everything serves. Mm-hmm. St. Catherine of Siena used to say that you can know God's will by studying it, but you can know it better by the opposite. And so what doesn't seem to be the will of God may just be that open door, that little treasure that we need to be aware of.
We need to open up our eyes.
Right. And I would say, finally, laugh at yourself. My goodness.
Oh, humor is a wonderful
thing. We need to stop and just laugh at ourselves, the ridiculousness of our attitudes sometimes. I don't mean lighten up in a negative sense, or just to let go of any kind of values, but I do think we need to laugh at ourselves and our humanity sometimes, because it is funny.
It is funny. You know, whatever's happening to us has been happening to somebody else.
Oh, my goodness. For sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So just we need to, hopefully everybody today will smile and look at yourself and just laugh.
It's a joyous thing. It's so freeing to laugh.
Right.
Yes. Well, we have a lot to think about.
Yes.
So if you could say a closing prayer and blessing for us this morning, Bishop.
Lord our God, you've called us to your kingdom, which is the kingdom of joy and peace and holiness. And you've given us your word to follow. As we again hear these parables today, we ask you to help us to look for the treasure of you in life, to look for your beauty in the fine pearls of life, and to do our part to root out what is not you in our lives. We entrust everything to you through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us on this summer morning. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.